For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are blessed today to hear the words of St. Paul, as these contain the gospel, which is the good news. And wow, we could really use some good news. So here's the good news. And he reminds the Corinthian church what he first brought them, so that he can reunify that parish. They are in a discord, there are fractures, there are parties and strife in that parish. And so he's reminding them the basic and fundamental truths of our faith so that they can come together again as one parish. And so it is one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father. He reminds them about how he gave them that which he first received, how that Jesus died, was buried, rose again from the dead. It's as if he's reciting the creed. We do see here the biblical foundation for our Nicene Creed. And that is to bring them back together. That is the foundation of their faith, not only personally between them and God, it is the foundation of their faith as a community of people. And on that sure foundation, they can remain unified and together. So his repetition of the truth that they believe is to bring them back together as one body, manifesting the one body of Christ. Liturgically, it's a very powerful thing that we do when we recite together the Nicene Creed. We stand and we say, I believe, and yet we say that corporately, so we're all saying what we believe. It unifies us. We're doing this as a unified action, as those who come from very different backgrounds, have very different talents, opportunities, and lives, but we all are unified in this belief that God has come to rescue us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that rescue is fait accompli. And so we are together in this, and we demonstrate that unity in our liturgy as we worship together. St. Paul says, I gave you that which I first received. And that shows the humility of a man who is bringing to them something that he didn't make up. It wasn't something that he invented. He's not a fabricator of some kind of fable that he's trying to bring to people. No, it's something that he received, and he received it in a miraculous way when he went to the road to Damascus, and he had the mystical vision of Christ who came to him. In a sense, he was catechized by Christ himself, and then he brought that gospel to others, a great hazard to himself, right? No regard for his own fortune, no regard for his own life. We see that he ends in the glory of martyrdom. He lays his life down for the faith of Christ. And so that is the strong witness of truth that he brings, not something he invented, but something that he received and then hands on to the Christians in Corinth, the newly made faithful in Corinth. Now, this is the blessing that he brings them, and they are to keep that blessing and bring to others the gospel that they have received. In church ecclesiology or theology, we call this the tradition. Tradition with a capital T, that which has been received, which we safeguard and without change hand to the next generation. So when we say we're a traditional church, it doesn't mean that we're traditionalists. We're not insisting upon certain ways of how church has been done in the past. We're going to stick to that as if it were the 1928 prayer book from now and forever. No, we're traditional Christians because we take the faith once delivered and we hand that to the next generation. And our 28 prayer book is one that could change, right? The prayer book's been updated, since its inception in the 16th century, many different versions. But the key is that it is itself a promulgation of the faith and practice of faithful Orthodox Christians in the Anglican way. And that's what we're about. We're traditional Christians in that sense, that we are carrying the faith of the next generation, without change. We're going to hold steadfast the faith of our fathers and bring it to the next generation. So that we see St. Paul doing that in the first generation of Christians, we get to do it in the 21st century. We also see that it is the gospel wherein ye stand and wherein ye are saved. And so here we have the indication of Saint Paul that this is the gospel that saved you, the truth in which you are saved, and also wherein you stand. Well, let's think about that for a minute. Here is the gospel truth that saves us, and it is our sure foundation. What is the gospel that he brings? That Jesus died upon the cross. Now some might think, whoa, why are you even mentioning that? You know, Jesus died. Well, he died for our salvation on that cross. It is the perfect sacrifice of Christ that allows for us to have access to the Father and to be forgiven of our sins. Jesus Christ is that spotless Lamb of God that was once offered for the sins of the whole world. And so we proclaim to the world that Christ has died. Jesus Christ and him crucified is the biblical faith. And then he was buried, and then he rose again from the dead. And the resurrection of Christ is that miracle of miracles upon which our faith stands. Our faith in Christ stands or falls on the historical fact of his resurrection. He did rise again from the dead. We proclaim our faith in that, and that is where Christ has conquered the great enemy of death. He has dealt death a death blow, and now we have the hope of everlasting life through that same Christ, through the same power that raised him up from the dead will raise us up from the dead. And so that is our sure place where we stand on that faith, and that keeps us stable and steady. I don't know about you, but I've noticed a lot of bad news lately. Anybody else? Kind of like wave after wave of, you know, distressing news. Well, one thing we can do when that, you know, hard news comes is we can remember the good news that we stand upon. So even take the coronavirus and all of the news that we received about the infection and so forth. This pandemic, which has occupied a lot of, you know, print or electrons in the media, however you digest your news, it is really kind of a hyper-morbid obsession on the fact of our mortality. Maybe we haven't thought about our mortality before, but as Christians, we're not afraid of death because Christ destroyed death. And so if I become, in a sense, a bit, you know, pushed off my mark by the fact of all this news about all the, you know, stuff about COVID-19, I can remember that Christ rose again from the dead. This is something that also will pass away. And we have the hope of heaven where there is no more sickness, where there is no more death, no more suffering, where God himself will wipe away all tears from our eyes. I remember speaking to a parishioner in my early ministry, and he said, whenever I get distressed, and he meant distress, whenever he was upset in his soul and distressed, he said, what I'll do is I'll go and read or say the Nicene Creed really slowly, and it quiets my soul. That's something we can do. In fact, it's something we're doing today. It's something that we are accustomed to, that we're trained how to do in the liturgy that we participate in. This is part of the foundation of prayer for our Christian life in this way of practicing the faith. It is the repetition of this recitation of the truth of the gospel that keeps us steady. And notice when we do it. We gather at the first day of the week, the day that Jesus rose again from the dead, to proclaim the resurrection of Christ, to proclaim it to a dying world, and to quiet our own souls. We say the good news straight away, first day of the week. We start with that. That is our sure foundation. And that is something that keeps us steady. Whatever happens this week, we start the week with a proclamation of the good news. Yes, there'll be bad news this week, but we know the good news. And that is something that we are to share with others. As St. Paul shared it with the church in Corinth, and as somebody else certainly shared it with you. Because the faith comes by hearing. And somebody was kind enough to tell you the truth. We also are bound to tell others the truth. That love has invaded the world. That death has been conquered by the Prince of Life, who has an indestructible life. That death is swallowed up in his victory, and that we have the hope of heaven. They need to hear that in our time because we live in a time where people are increasingly dying deaths of despair. We live in a country where people are hopeless, where they're despairing. They don't have something to hope in. They see things shifting and turning. They don't know where to turn for solid ground. They don't know about the rock of Christ. And so if you see, you know, statistics which speak about the increase of opioid addictions, or you hear about people, you know, an increase in suicide rates, those are deaths of despair. We have something to offer. Our culture wants to run in the opposite direction, right? I won't preach politics, but there is a proposition on the ballot coming up to have recreational marijuana. And in a few weeks, I'll tell you why I'm not going to vote for that proposition. I don't think we need more people running away from reality. We need more people running to reality. And the ultimate reality is God, who is love. And when a person embraces Him, they experience salvation for this life and the life to come. They have a vibrant hope which overcomes the darkness of this present world. Jesus Christ, who said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And may God, by His Holy Spirit, empower us that we would share that same life-giving faith with others, that as we have been secured and saved and brought into this ark of salvation that we call the church, others, by the grace of God and through our own ministry, may come to the same. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.